Morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call Senate Finance Committee to order. Time is 11:40 a.m. Saturday, April 17th, 2010. With me today is my co-chair, Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, Senator Thomas, Senator Egan, and we'll be joined by the other two shortly. We have a busy schedule today that'll be interrupted probably several times as we work through this. We have 15 bills or so on the schedule. We're going to start with House Bill. We can have quiet in the House, please.
You can have my three.
We have House Bill 306, State Energy Policy. These will all be in second time up. House Bill 357, Alaska Railroad Corporate Land Sales. House Bill 365, Fish Processor Fees, Licenses and Records. House Bill 126, Extend, Resume State Custody of Children. House Bill 184, Debt Authorization for University. House Bill 421, Public Employee Salaries. House Bill 226, Naming Veterans Way in Mat-Su. House Bill 90, Aid a Bond, Taxing Records. House Bill 73, Firefighters, EMT License Plates. House Bill 416, Prudent Management of Institutional Funds. Those will all be the second time. We've had them up. House Bill 314, Workers' Compensation, will not be heard today. And then in first reading today, House Bill 50, Limit Overtime for Registered Nurses. House Bill 363, ADA Membership. House Bill 70, Alaska Growing Agricultural Products. House Bill 345, Sam Schlesler Memorial Bridge. And then we'll have H.J.R. 45, Opposed Federal Cap Trade Legislation. So first up is House Bill 306. This is a second reading. We've had this bill before the committee. We have had our public testimony, and we have a CS. Senator Hoffman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, adopt the CS. Yes, I move this Finance Committee adopt Senate CS for CS for House Bill 306/N as a working document.
Okay, and I'll object for explanation and ask Mr. Peterson from my office to explain the CS, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Darwin Peterson, staff to Senator Stedman. The CS you have before you is version N. We deleted 15 words from the previous version to get the chairman's stamp of approval, and it might be easier for the members to look at the resources CS so I can show you what words were deleted, version M. So referring to version M, if you look on page 2, lines 24 and 25, the words "and for export of power that is surplus to the needs of Alaska communities" was deleted. The intent behind that is it's our desire to see that the needs of Southeast communities that are served by hydro is met first before we consider export. Second change, Mr. Chairman, is on page 3, line 22. The word "national" was deleted before emissions. In the previous hearing, there was testimony that might be problematic for the state to be tied to federal standards, so that's why the word "national" was deleted in that line. Mr. Chairman, those are the changes in the CS.
Okay. Any questions on the CS? I'll remove my objection to the adoption of the CS. Any further objection to the adoption of the CS? Seeing none, we're back to the main motion. Any questions on House Bill 306? Senator Hoffman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out Senate CS for CS for House Bill 306 with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill from the committee to the next committee referral. Next up, House Bill 357 by Representative Stoltz regarding Alaska Railroad corporate land sales. This is the second hearing on this bill. We heard it for the first time the 15th of April. The intent today is to bring the bill back, address concerns that members may have, and look to the will of the committee. Committee members have any objections? We have 1-0 fiscal note from the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, and there's a letter of intent in your packet adopted by the House. And we've previously had public testimony. Do you have any questions on this? concerns? Senator Hoffman?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out CS for House Bill 357 with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Okay, we have a motion to move the bill from committee to the next committee referral with individual recommendations, attached fiscal note, and letter of intent.
Letter of intent.
Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill from committee to the next committee or referral. Next up, House Bill 365 regarding fish processor fees, licenses, and records. This is the second hearing on this bill. We heard it April 15th. The intent today is to bring the bill back, address concerns that committee members may have, and look to the will of the committee. There is 2-0 fiscal notes from the Department of Revenue and the Department of Fish and Game. There's also a letter of intent in your packet, which was adopted by the House, and we previously had public testimony. Any questions on this bill? Seeing none, Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out House Bill 365 with individual recommendations, attached fiscal notes, and letter of intent.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations, letter of intent, and attached fiscal note. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill from committee to the next committee referral. Next up, House Bill 126 regarding the extension of state custody for children. This is the second hearing on this bill. We first heard it April 16th. The intent today is to bring the bill back to address concerns committee members may have. There is 3 fiscal notes from the Department of Health and Social Services in your packet. One for Children's Service Management in the amount of $130,700 in general funds and $73,500 in federal match. One for foster care special needs in the amount of $38,800 in general funds and $2,200 in federal match. And one for foster care base rate in the amount of $186,800 in general funds and $37,200 in federal match. We've previously had public testimony to committee. Do you have any questions or concerns on this bill? Seeing none, Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out CS for House Bill 126 with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill from committee to the next committee referral. Next up, House Bill 184 regarding debt authorization for the university. This is the second hearing on this bill. We first heard it the 16th of April. The intent today is to bring the bill back to address concerns the committee members may have. There is 1-0 fiscal note from the university. Public testimony is closed as it was previously taken on the 16th of April. Do you have any questions on this bill? Seeing none, Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out House Bill 184 with individual recommendations and attached 0 fiscal note.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill from committee to the next committee referral. Next up, House Bill 421 by the governor regarding public employee salaries. This is the second hearing on this bill. First hearing was April 16th. The intent today is to bring the bill back to address concerns that committee members may have. There are 3 fiscal notes in your packet, one from the executive branch for $4,182,300 in FY11, one for the court system of $1,346,000 in FY11, one from the legislature for $741,800 in FY11. All 3 fiscal notes will double in 2012. We previously had public testimony on the 16th of April. Do we have any questions on this bill? Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out House Bill 421 with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill from committee to the next committee or referral. Next up, House Bill 226 by Rep. Keller regarding naming of the Veterans Way in the Mat-Su. This is the second hearing on this bill. We first heard it the 16th of April. Intent today is to bring the bill back to see if members have any concerns? There is one fiscal note from the Department of Transportation for $8,500 in general funds to install signs, and we've previously had public testimony on the 16th of April. Any concerns or questions on this bill? Seeing none, Senator Hoffman.
Quite expensive signs. Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out CS for House Bill 226 with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill from committee. The next committee referral. Next up, House Bill 90. Second hearing on this bill. We first heard it the 15th of April. Intent today is to bring the bill back so members can address any concerns. And we do have one. We have a 1-0 fiscal note from the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, and public testimony is closed as we had that the 15th of April. Senator Olson, you want to move Amendment 1?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment Number 1.
And I'll object for discussion. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is another bill, HB 10, that has a portion to it that specifically addresses the DeLong Mountain Transportation System, but there is a perception that there may be a gap in there, and this fixes that gap by making this amendment retroactive to November 30th, 2009. And with that, I ask your support.
Any further objection to the amendment, concerns, questions on the amendment? I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the amendment. Any further objection to the adoption of the amendment? Seeing none, Amendment 1 is adopted. Any concerns or questions on House Bill 90? Seeing none, Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out CS for House Bill 90 as amended with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill as amended with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. Do we have notes? Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill from committee to the next committee referral. Next up, House Bill 73 regarding firefighter EMT license plates. This is the second hearing on this bill. The intent today is to adopt a committee substitute, address any additional concerns members may have, look to the will of the committee. Senator Hoffman, may have a motion to adopt version W.
Version W.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm on the wrong bill. Sorry about this.
We'll have a brief at ease. On the record, Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee adopt Senate CS for House Bill 73/W as our working document.
And I'll object for explanation. The committee substitute incorporates some of the suggestions provided by the Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. The unnecessary reference to commemorative plates has been deleted, and the biannual $35 fee has been deleted. Any questions on the CS? On the CS. I'll go ahead and remove my objection. Adoption of the CS. Any further objection to the adoption of the CS? Seeing none, we're back to the full bill as adopted. Any concerns on the bill? Seeing none, Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out Senate CS for House Bill 73 with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
We have a motion to move the bill as adopted with Amendment 1. The individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move the bill from committee to the next committee referral. Next up, House Bill 416 by the House Labor and Commerce Department regarding the prudent management of institutional funds. This is the second hearing on this bill. We heard it for the first time the 16th of April. The intent today is to bring the bill back to address concerns and look to the will of the committee. There's 2-0 fiscal notes from the Department of Law, and and from the university, and do we have any concerns on this bill? Seeing none, Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out House Bill 416 with individual recommendations and accompanying zero fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Fiscal note. Objection. Seeing none, we'll move the bill from committee to the next committee referral. I'll have a brief at ease. Record. We're now going into a period of the calendar. We've got five bills up. They're all on first reading. We'll work through these. We'll most likely hold them all over till tomorrow. It's a standard procedure of the committee dealing with bills to allow the committee members time to digest the bills and have the opportunity for people to express concerns to the committee members for changes. Next up, and then we'll do this. We're going to do House Bill 50, and then we're going to break for lunch. And we'll have probably a half-hour lunch break. And we're going to come back and roll through the rest of the agenda. House Bill 50 by Representative Wilson regarding limited overtime for registered nurses. This is the first hearing on the bill. Intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. With us today is Representative Wilson. She could introduce herself, who she represents, of course, and walk us through this bill, please.
Okay, my name is Representative Peggy Wilson from District 2, and House Bill 50 is mandatory rest for nurses. I introduced House Bill 50 to address a growing problem for nurses who work in healthcare facilities in Alaska. Nurses are working excessive amounts of hours without adequate rest. This creates an unsafe work environment for patients and for nurses. The purpose of the bill is to promote better patient safety by making sure nurses get enough rest. There are some who think this bill is about making it easier for collective bargaining units at the negotiating table. That's just not the case. This is about creating a standardized work environment across the state that improves patient and nurse safety. No nurse can work more than 14 hours without 10 hours of rest. And I think if you just think about how the legislators have been working, the many hours that we've been working, and just think about if you had to make measurements for medications that were life and death decisions for nurses. This bill has provisions for emergencies, inclement weather, natural disasters, ongoing procedures, surgeries that hospitals were concerned about, that we wanted to meet their concerns. 15 other states have adopted similar requirements, including Washington State, Oregon, and California. Most of those measures that the other states have restrict nurses to only 12 consecutive hours without 12 hours of rest. But we have yielded here, and House Bill 50 will set a 14-hour limit with a 10-hour rest period. We've also given additional flexibility to our hospitals, particularly those operating in smaller communities. During committee, we heard from the hospitals that there's no need for this bill because Alaska does not use the specific practice of mandatory overtime. Without engaging in a debate about the terms of this, it is absolutely clear to me that our nurses are working excessive numbers of overtime hours without adequate rest. And it's clear that in most cases, nurses are being forced or mandated to work additional overtime, either through a practice called mandatory call, which most hospitals admit is freely used, or by pressure tactics designed to get nurses to volunteer for additional hours. This is done through various methods, including suggestions of patient abandonment or asserting that nurses will be letting down co-workers. My bill addresses all of these practices. Nurses from across Alaska have come forward and provided considerable testimony and written communications that we do have a serious problem in this state. Nurses are working beyond 12-hour shifts on a frequent basis. This is just unsafe. Nurses are completing their 12-hour shifts and within a few hours are called back to complete another shift or work additional hours, often working well beyond the 14 hours in a 24-hour period. This is unsafe. And finally, nurses are being asked to work several 12-hour shifts over consecutive days. It is not uncommon to see nurses working 12-hour shifts over 5, 6, or even more consecutive days. House Bill 50 addresses these problems in a reasonable and balanced manner, while creating a safe and strong working environment that retains nurses instead of having them leave the industry because they're just exhausted. And some of them are retiring early because of the conditions that they're having to work under. The Finance Committee heard a very similar Senate bill 2 years ago. My staff is prepared to walk through the differences between the Senate version and the House version of the bill if you'd like. There have been multitude of nurses that have offered testimony over the year on this issue. I urge you to move this important bill from committee. Thank you.
Do we have any questions for the bill sponsor? Questions? Seeing none, we've got there are 3-0 fiscal notes from the Department of Health and Social Services. This is there's one indeterminate fiscal note from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Just for those watching at home, this subject has been before the committee in different bill forms and over a couple of different years, so it's not a new issue here. If they're wondering why we don't light up with a bunch of questions. We're going to go ahead and start the public hearing portion. We're going to start with the off-net. And we have several people signed up and quite a workload ahead of us, so I'm going to ask everybody to keep to 2 minutes of their testimony, speak to the bill that's in front of us, and to stay away from repetitive testimony. If you, it's already been said, you could simply state that you support the bill or you don't support the bill. We're gonna go ahead and start with John Bringhertz from Petersburg. If he can identify himself for the record, who he represents, and then speak to the bill, please.
Hi, my name is John Bringhertz. I'm administrator at Petersburg Medical Center, a position that I've held for the past 13 years, and I would like to give testimony against SB 50. As a hospital administrator, it's impossible to argue against patient safety. No one is more concerned than those of us who are charged with managing hospitals with having staff with questionable performance or nurses inattentive because of being too tired. However, in our opinion, HB 50 appears to be a long run for a short slide. It produces onerous reporting requirements on hospitals to be able to keep track of all the different shifts and the length of time between shifts, time status, et cetera, things that our computers don't kept manually. And all of this occurs for a situation in which we don't have an overtime policy that requires nurses to work when they feel like they're too tired or like they work too many shifts. I guess one of the main concerns I have with HB 50 has to do with the mandatory call. Most of the small hospitals in the state don't staff their emergency departments 24/7, we use a mandatory call to staff our ERs. If a patient comes into the ER, the nurse will leave the central nurse's station. She'll go down and take care of the emergency patient, and she'll call in someone who's on mandatory call to come in and take her shift while she's taking care of the ER patient. If we were to be forced to discontinue our mandatory call policy, it would cost our hospital somewhere around $470,000 a year to staff our emergency departments 24/7. We only see two or three emergency cases a day. This would place a huge burden on patients that would have to pay the extra cost to staff these emergency departments. These situations scarcely ever get into a situation where nurses have to work two shifts back-to-back, but many of them sign up voluntarily for back-to-back call with their nursing shifts, and this could put us in a situation where we were in violation of SB 50. I would certainly urge your attention to this matter, if nothing else, to make sure that mandatory call is not something prohibited by this act. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony today.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Stringhorst, are you still on, sir?
Stringhorst, yes.
On page 3 of the bill, I don't know if you have the bill in front of you, but there is an exemption for rural communities. And I was wondering if you were aware of that and if the hospital in Petersburg qualified for it.
Well, as I read that, that exempts us for certain periods when we're having nurse shortages. It's not an exemption overall that allows us just to ignore this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you. Next up, Ryan Smith, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Ryan Smith. I'm the CEO at Central Peninsula Hospital in Soldotna, Alaska. I would like to again offer my testimony against HB 50. With all due respect to Representative Wilson, I do not believe this is a bill that provides mandatory rest for nurses, nor is it a patient safety bill. It is a labor bill. If it was a patient safety bill, it would not exclude children in psychiatric treatment, residential psych patients, patients being transported in planes or helicopters, rural communities with temporary nurse staff emergencies, or federal and tribal facilities. Nor would it just to have reporting requirements for hospitals. It would have reporting requirements for nurses as nurses bounce from facility to facility providing patient care without the appropriate rest. So at Central Peninsula Hospital, in a one-year period of time, we had 44 instances that an RN worked greater than a 14-hour shift. We do not believe these instances of incurred overtime represent mandatory nurse overtime. However, under this legislation, it will be considered mandatory nurse overtime with few exceptions. In 21 of 44 of these shifts, the nurse worked 14.25 hours, and in 31 of 44 of these shifts, the nurse worked less than 15 hours. If you apply the maximum penalties allowed under Section 18.24.30 of this bill, we would have been fined $1,030,500. As fiduciary stewards of this organization, we're unwilling to accept that level of organizational risk. So instead of being a mandatory rest for nurse bill, this will be the bill of unintended consequences for nurses as we work towards 8-hour shifts and staffing ratios that may not benefit nurses. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony today. Evangeline Dodamine.
Thank you, my name is Evangeline Dodamine. Everyone calls me Angel. I'm president CEO of the Alaska Native Health Board. The Alaska Native Health Board represents 25 tribal healthcare organizations from across the state. Organizations as small as the Native Village of Aklutna to as large as the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation in Bethel, or the Norton Sound Health Corporation in Nome. We're calling in today to testify against House Bill 50. We understand that we have a tribal exemption for all of our tribal health organizations. However, we believe that this bill actually totally changes the market, a market in which tribal health and rural organizations are already having to work a lot harder than other organizations to recruit and retain good nurses. We also believe, just like Central Peninsula Hospital that we want to make sure that this is a patient safety bill, if that's how it's being presented, and make sure that we take care of those instances where a nurse could work multiple jobs, yet only ones that are being held accountable are the institutions that they work at. If I'm open for questions, if you have any, once again, we appreciate the tribal and federal exemption, but we do believe that this will change the market. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your testimony today. That concludes our off-nets, and LIOs will come into the room. I'm going to just go down the sign-up list. Nancy Davis, please. You'd all start with identifying yourself and who you represent, and then speak to the bill, and then try not to repeat the testimony, please.
Good morning. Thank you. My name is Nancy Davis. I'm a registered nurse from Juneau, Alaska. I work for a hospice and home care agency here in Juneau as a nurse. I'm here this morning as the president of the Alaska Nurses Association, with a membership of over 1,100 registered nurses in our state. I would say that patient safety is the primary benefit of House Bill 50. Nurses will benefit also by being alert and rested enough to make critical decisions that patients depend on to ensure their health, their safety, and even their lives. House Bill 50 does help to assure that when a patient and family enter a healthcare facility, that they can have some level of confidence across Alaska that the staff there who care for them will be alert and able, that we all depend when we step on an airplane that flight crews and pilots have been rested and have limited their work hours to ensure the safety of all the passengers. We should expect no less when we enter a hospital facility. I speak in support of House Bill 50 from a nurse's viewpoint, and I hope that it will pass on to the next level. Thank you very much.
Good. Thank you for your testimony today. Rod?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Rod Beatty. I'm the president and CEO of the Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association. I'm here to express my membership's opposition to this bill. Several just testified, but there are 27 facilities around the state, 26 of whom don't support this particular provision, one of which is neutral. But basically, for the reasons you just heard, want to underscore that patient safety is of prime importance to all of our facilities. And we certainly do respect and appreciate what Representative Wilson has done. There have been some improvements in this bill in the number of years that it's been before the legislature, but there's still several key provisions which we believe need attention in order for hospitals to be able to support the final product.
Pull your mic just a little bit closer to you, please.
Happy to, Mr. Chairman. Those have been discussed. The nurses and the sponsor did not want to make those adjustments, so we're really in a position where we can't support the bill as it's before you currently. And I could certainly go into those if you wanted to, Mr. Chairman, but essentially, please understand that the testimony you've already heard is consistent throughout the hospital membership of ASHNA.
Okay, thank you. Lori Morton.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. For the record, my name is Laurie Huguenin Morton. I'm a resident of Juneau, Alaska. I've been in the state since 1989. I spent 5 years out in Bethel and the rest of my time here in Juneau. I am not representing any organization today. I'm here as a daughter. Both my dad and my mom had extensive stays in hospitals in Texas and my mom here in Juneau before they passed away. I was their primary caretaker and I was with them as they were in the hospitals. It's difficult to watch, not necessarily the critical mistake that's going to kill a person, but the mistakes that get made at the end of long, extensive shifts every day that take away a little bit of their dignity, that increase their pain, and that continue their needless suffering. Nurses should not work extensive periods of time. They are the people who are right there and most readily available to help that patient when something untoward happens in the hospital or something is different than what it needs to be. They need to be alert. They need to be clear thinking. They need to be able to know that when they're putting that medicine in that drip, it's the correct dosage and it's the correct medication. It's difficult enough to be in the hospital without having added complications because people were not at their best and sharpest when they were making decisions for the patient, for your family member. I support this bill. I wish, opposite from what you'll hear from almost everybody, that it was only 8 hours and then they had a rest period. 14 hours, you're still going to be making some mistakes. So I know the hospitals have their perspective. I know the nurses have their perspective. Not very many patients have come forward to offer an opinion about this bill. It's very demoralizing and difficult once you've made it through that hospital experience. You sort of want to leave that behind and move forward. So I can see why not very many people who've had hospital experiences are coming forward to talk about them. I hope that you move this bill forward. I think it's a start. I think it shouldn't be the professionals that get all the say about it. I think we need to be concerned with the consumers and with what goes on. I wouldn't leave a person alone in a hospital room. There's just too much that can happen. There are nurses, people of goodwill. I know doctors are of goodwill. People want to help people be healthy and better, but sometimes it just doesn't happen, and we as a state should do everything we can to ensure the best possible outcomes. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Lori, just did Lori. Mary Stackhouse, please.
Thank you, Senators, for this opportunity to be heard. My name is Mary Stackhouse. I have been a registered nurse for 36 years. I have seen all types of big hospitals, small hospitals, and nurses of every variety. And I myself have worked in nearly every type of hospital nursing there is to do. I currently have spent the last 12 years in neonatal intensive care. And it is something that I have found you have to be on your game every single day, every single minute. You cannot go in there exhausted because it could have a lifetime change in an infant who fits in the palm of your hand. If you're not right there watching for that little bit of a change or that little bit of time when you need to make that decision to change what you're doing, it can make a lifetime of disability for that child. I have seen nurses work extensively, more than they should have. We have never stopped allowing nurses to voluntarily say, I can do more. And we do extra shifts, and we do it for our coworkers, we do it for our patients. But we need to have the rest in between. And the nurses know best how well their body is surviving. And a lot of us, 53% of the nurses in Alaska, are now over the age of 50. And in order to keep those quality experienced nurses, we have to treat them with respect and let them make the choice if they feel they can do another shift. And we want to make sure that the new young kids coming up with all their energy are not leaving the profession as soon as they enter it because they want to have time with their life and their families, and they don't want to have the mandate of someone telling them they must come in. They do not want to be wedded to their job. They want life balance. And we really need the opportunity to protect our patients by being well-rested, well-educated, and treated as professionals. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony today. Maybe Debbie Thompson?
My name is Debbie Thompson. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Nurses Association, and I thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the ability to talk to you this morning. I am the safe place, I am the safe voice, and I can bring forward for nurses what they fear to bring forward for themselves. I brought a packet to each of your offices yesterday with the article that was in the Juno Empire, and I just like to read a paragraph of that article. I think it says it best there. It says, many Bartlett Regional Hospital employees live in fear of being demoted, reassigned, or fired for speaking out or disagreeing with hospital leaders. I'm here to tell you this morning, this is not the exception to how nurses feel in hospitals or other facilities across Alaska. This is the norm. I urge you to pass this bill on to the floor. Thank you for your time this morning.
Okay, thank you. I'm having trouble reading this. Thompson?
Yes.
That's okay, so you're in there twice. Okay. Barbara Huff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Barbara Huff Teknes. I'm the Director of Governmental and Legislative Affairs for Teamsters Local 959. And I think I'd like to limit my comments to speak in favor of House Bill 50. And I think more importantly for the record, to focus on safety. The nurses and LPNs that we represent at South Peninsula Hospital and Kodiak Island are blessed with a collective bargaining agreement. I think this piece of legislation is probably more appropriate, applicable with your nurses out there that don't have collective bargaining agreements, so that you have a level playing field and everybody is protected under the same safety protections. And I think that, first and foremost, is so important that all nurses, not just a few, are protected under this legislation. And if South Peninsula Hospital, being a very small hospital, Kodiak Island also being a small hospital, can hopefully recognize some of those protections, it should be equally applied across the state and under the same rules. And we would encourage you to pass House Bill 50 on behalf of all nurses in the state of Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes our public testimony portion. We have any questions from the committee members? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and set this bill aside for further review. We'll stand at ease for 1 o'clock, and we'll start down our agenda, which will be House Bill 363. We're at ease. Back on the record, this is an extension of the morning session of, and it is 1:45 p.m., 17th of April, 2010. We're taking up House Bill 363 by the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee regarding ADA membership. This is the first hearing on this bill. Intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. With us today, we have representation from Rep. Heron's office. If you can come forward. If you can introduce yourself for the record and who you represent and speak to the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Rob Earl, staff to Representative Heron. HB 363 is sponsored by the House Committee and Regional Affairs Committee, co-chaired by Representatives Munoz and Heron. Chairman, as you know, ADA is a public development finance corporation whose mission is to promote economic development in Alaska by various means of financing and investment. ADA fulfills this mission by providing Alaskan businesses with long-term financing options at a reasonable cost. Each year, 25 to 50% of the return on ADA's assets is redistributed back to the state general fund as a dividend. This year, Mr. Chairman, that dividend was $23 million about. The bill changes the ADA board membership, and it should be noted up front that the ADA board also serves as the Alaska Energy Authority board. Currently, there's five members on the board. The commissioners of revenue and DCCED are on the board by statute. There is a third discretionary commissioner appointed by the governor. Currently, it's the commissioner of DOT, and two public members also appointed by the governor for a current board makeup of three commissioners and two public members. HB 363 adds three more public members for a total of five, while also retaining the commissioners of revenue and DCCED on the board. The idea behind the additional public membership, Mr. Chairman, is the belief that a preponderance of private sector input will lead to better governance, since the private sector best understands markets and can best direct ADA to maximize its positive impact on economic development in Alaska. The bill obviously would expand the board from five to seven members. The bill also stipulates public members must possess business and or industry expertise and leadership skills. Mr. Chairman, the advantages of an expansion to a seven-member board, this would give ADA more flexibility in forming subcommittees. This increases the potential for more diverse experience and specialties on the board. It also increases the potential for broader geographic and industry representation. And the expansion allows for the general thrust of the bill, which is the preponderance of private sector input already mentioned. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm open to questions.
Thank you. We have 10 fiscal note from the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development for 22,808 receipts. We have nobody signed up online or signed up in the room to testify. Do we have any questions, the bill sponsor? Seeing none, any closing comments on the bill?
No, sir.
Okay, we'll go ahead and set this bill aside for further review. Next up, House Bill 70 by Representative Gatto regarding the Alaska Grown Agricultural Product. It's the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. With us today, hopefully, is representation from Representative Gatto's office. Anybody here? Gatto's office. We'll set this bill aside. Next up, do we have anybody from Representative Ramirez's office? Next up, House Bill 345 by Representative Ramirez regarding the Sam Schuler Memorial Bridge. This is the first hearing on this bill. Intent today is to hear from the sponsor, take public testimony, and set the bill aside. We have representation from Representative Ramirez's office. If you could explain to the committee after you identify yourself what this does, please.
For the record, my name is Jane Pearson, staff to Representative Jay Ramirez, and House Bill 345 gives the name the Sam Schuler Memorial Bridge to a bridge that will be built at milepost 308 on the Dalton Highway. Sam Schuler was a well-loved, respected Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities employee who spent his entire career working on the Dalton Highway. Sam exhibited a spirited tenacity that set him apart from his peers. He quickly became the Dalton District roving foreman. In that position, he frequented every mile of the Dalton Highway and was personally involved every day of the function of each maintenance camp. He was a compassionate man who led by example. His two favorite phrases were get her done and can do. He left the Dalton Highway a much better condition than he found it. Sam's life ended unexpectedly on January 1st, 2007, while he was still a DOT employee. And his ethics and heartfelt commitment to improve the Dalton Highway are appreciated by travelers and those he worked with, and for that reason, we would like to see this bridge named after him.
Okay, we have 1-0 fiscal note from the Department of Transportation because the cost of the sign is budgeted into the construction of the bridge. We have any initial questions for the bill sponsor? We have nobody signed up in the LIOs or online, but we do have Mary Soroki from DOT that would like to speak. For a minute.
For the record, through the chair, my name is Mary Soroki, Special Assistant to the Commissioner of the Department of Transportation.
Do you support the bill?
Senator, we do support it. In your packets, there's a letter from 39 of our employees and 24 truckers, and it would be a real privilege to have this little bridge named after one of ours.
Okay, thank you. Any final questions for the bill sponsor? Any final comments by the bill sponsor?
No, sir.
Okay, we'll set this bill aside for further review. Next up, House Joint Resolution 45 by Representative Stoltz. Anybody here from Stoltz's office? We will stand at ease. This is House Joint Resolution 45 regarding opposition to the federal cap and trade legislation. This is the first hearing on this resolution. Intent today is to hear from the sponsor and have him introduce the resolution, take public testimony, and set the bill aside. And with us today, we have representation from Rep. Stoltz's office.
Mr. Chairman and members of the Senate Finance Committee, my name is John Bitney. I work in the office of Representative Harris for the Legislative Council, and I've been asked to assist Representative Stoltz's office in presenting as a sponsor of the bill. The resolution before you is expressing opposition to some legislation that is being contemplated in Congress that would establish a cap and trade program. It's sponsored, of course, by Representative Stoltz, along with 18 co-sponsors in the House. Obviously, Mr. Chairman, I think that the issue is fairly broad and is fairly well known. The concern is the impact, of course, that enacting such federal legislation would have on the economy, placing costs and burdens on various industries, and wanting to certainly express concern to the Congress about enacting such provisions. I have checked on the current status of the legislation as far as how the debate is going, and just briefly, Mr. Chairman, would just mention to the committee, I think that the senators that are pushing this intend to have a hybrid bill introduced in Congress by the end of this month. It will go on a sector-by-sector basis, addressing various things a little bit differently. There will be provisions in it that, for example, increase taxes on gasoline. I understand that the White House, of course, is opposed to that, so there still sounds like there's some work to be done, but this is going to be an ongoing discussion, and the resolution that's before you is just intended to express concerns to the Congress on behalf of the state and the legislature.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When we pass this legislation, what are the possibilities that they will listen to us?
Mr. Chairman, I have high hopes, and I know that they, coming from a state such as Alaska, which is, I think, on the forefront of things like climate change, that I think our voice on some of these issues does matter a little bit. I think people do pay attention, and I know our senator, as our senior senator, as a ranking member on the Energy Committee, would find this as something that I know would probably weigh heavily on her mind.
Do we have any other questions for the bill or the resolution sponsor? We have no one signed up. We have 1-0 fiscal note. And we have no one signed up in the LIO or the off-nets, and no one signed up in the room to speak to this bill. Do we have any resolution? Do we have any final questions? Do we have any final comments? Senator Hoffman.
Can you pass
motion? Down the road.
Mr. Chairman.
House Joint Resolution 45.
I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out CS for us Joint Resolution 45 with individual recommendations and attach their fiscal note.
We have a motion to move the resolution from committee with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations. We have objection. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move the resolution from committee to the next committee referral. Next up, House Bill 70 by Representative Gatto regarding the Alaska Growing Agricultural Products. This is the first hearing on this bill. Intent today is to hear from the sponsor. Take public testimony.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman.
Set the bill aside after he introduces it.
Always like that. And it's that comfort feeling. Well, good afternoon.
And remind his staff, Senate Finance has dress codes.
I apologize, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead and continue.
Farm to School just sets up a organization within the Department of Agriculture to encourage a few things, and that is to allow schools to better able to buy local products, allow kids to grow and be part of the agricultural community, and it also tries to solve the issue of overweight to some degree, because it's too high a percentage of our kids really are overweight. I think it's 27% in elementary school, where it should be maybe 5%. So we're trying to do something about health, and I think introducing them to learn that potatoes are dirty and carrots are dirty when they first come out of the ground, and then stuff doesn't come from the back of Safeway or cars. It comes from farms. And if it came in a box, it somehow got to the box by virtue of a cow or a pig or an animal or a plant, and not typically, because supermarkets arrange all their foods in the middle, in the popular rows, in boxes, and you have to go to the periphery to find the dairy case and the fresh fruit and vegetable cases. So this is to do what we can to allow children to become more involved in the products that are used. There's a longer background, but basically the bill has been reduced significantly to lessen the fiscal note, and I think it's down to one position within Department of Agriculture.
And I'd like to go ahead and welcome your aide to Senator Finance, if he can introduce himself for the record. And
I'm Thomas Riker, aide to Representative Carl Gatto, and we're just happy to be here today. Thank you.
So if you could.
The UAS student, by the way. UAS student.
This is his first time at Senate Finance, so that will give him the opportunity and this is our last item on the morning calendar, to give him an opportunity to plug the bill, support the bill to Senate Finance Committee, if you would. Tell us why we should support this bill.
Yes, sir. Through the chair, members of the committee, this bill is good for Alaska school children, and it's good for Alaska's farmers, and we believe, therefore, that it's good for the state of Alaska. Our cash receipts, when it comes to agriculture, have consistently gone down in the last 3 or 4 years, particularly in the dairy industry. We're seeing that students in our schools, I believe about 80% of students, don't get the recommended daily servings of dairy products. This could create an important new market for our dairy farmers. We're also seeing that the only area where cash receipts are going up is greenhouses and other forms of indoor farming. And this also provides an important new market for those sectors and allows for agriculture in areas of the state, you know, where it hasn't traditionally been able to exist profitably.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Should we put in here that they should also eat Alaska salmon, since that's healthy as well?
the origin of this bill came from when I was in Dillingham and talking to the nutritionist for the schools there. She told me we have warehouses full of frozen fish. And I said, We don't, but we have warehouses full of vegetables. And we tried to make a trade, and we couldn't because the shipping was just so unreasonable to be able to afford to do things like that. Because in Dillingham, they got their fish for free, all frozen. They just gave it to the schools. But that was the origin of thinking of farm to school. So that's the background. No, we don't oppose fish, sir. We don't oppose meat either.
But for $181,100, we probably could afford to ship some of those fish to the valley.
We have two fiscal notes, zero fiscal note from the Department of Education and Early Development, one fiscal note from the Department of Natural Resources for $181,100 general funds to hire staff to administer the program. I'm sure we'll scrub that fiscal note.
Mr. Chairman, I don't oppose that. I wish I was writing the fiscal note, but I just want to take the ones they've sent to me.
And we have no one online that signed up to testify, or no one in the LIO, no one in the room. Do we have any final questions, concerns from the committee members? Final comments from the bill sponsor?
No, sir.
Senator Hoffman, I have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out CS for House Bill 70 with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. We have objection. Seeing none, we'll move the bill from committee. The next committee referral. This concludes our morning session. I will adjourn this and we'll post an afternoon session if needed. Right now it looks like it's not needed, but we were scheduled at 1:30, but we obviously it's past that, but we may reconvene later today. Meeting adjourned.